Maybe you've wondered how much money influences state politics. Well, the answer to that question is difficult to find because it's not always easy to follow the money. Some Washington state legislators want to change that by adding more transparency to the world of lobbyists and government. Austin Jenkins, KUOW's Olympia correspondent, is here with more on that. Austin, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here, Russ.
So set the scene for us. Lawmakers are working on transparency in government on a few different fronts. What are they?
Yeah, there are probably a dozen or more bills that have been introduced this year on this topic of transparency and ethics. And you can sort of slice it up by lobbyist disclosure, lawmaker reporting, campaign finance, and then maybe a fourth category of just state ethics, especially as it applies to top state office, state employees who work for these office holders.
Well, Reuven Carlisle is one representative who's working on this. He represents Washington's 36th district, which includes Magnolia and Ballard. Representative Carlisle told KUOW's Marcy Silman transparency is not just a buzzword.
It's the real deal when it comes to opening up the public conversation, the books, the reality of how the money flows in and out of government. The only path forward is to really open the doors to a different kind of public conversation. And transparency is the way to do that.
You sponsored a measure this session that would have required a one-year cooling-off period before state officials themselves could become lobbyists. The bill died. What went through your head? What did it mean to you when that bill failed?
Well, I have to say that I thought it was deeply humiliating and embarrassing for the institution of government itself to be unwilling to create a modest ethics standard. And all of those issues are just examples and really symbolic representations of the need for a stronger line between public service and private interests.
What does the failure of that bill say about the status quo in Olympia?
I think it says a lot about the institutional grip of the status quo is alive and well, and I think we as a state are so much better than this. We do have strong ethics laws. We do have strong disclosure laws, but we can absolutely do more and do it more effectively, and I think we have a public and really a moral responsibility to acknowledge that the moment you lose the support of the public in terms of the integrity of our work, we do really structural damage. So I feel very strongly about this issue.
You also accept money or have accepted money from lobbyists to raise funds for your campaign. So what problems do you see in your own personal fundraising history?
Well, there's a structural problem here. It's inherently mixed up, and I have no problem whatsoever raising money to fund my campaign and then turning around and doing what I think is right. I don't think that's inconsistent at all. I just want to make that relationship more open and transparent in terms of big, big dollars relative to issues like tax breaks. For me, as chair of the Finance Committee, I have access to all of the confidential data in the state relative to tax information. So I know how much a company pays in taxes or how much they don't. When they propose a tax break, we ought to have that public conversation, and lawmakers ought to be held accountable, not just in name only, but to really, really drill down and understand it in a very authentic way.
And lastly, what would you say to voters, your constituents who might be listening, people who are discouraged about the amount of influence that both lobbyists and money have in politics today?
Well, democracy works, and it's messy, and it's ugly, and it's cumbersome to all of us. But, you know, the voice of the people does actually come through. We've done some great things. We passed a minimum wage bill out of the House. We passed paid family leave. So we've done a lot of good work, and we do actually on occasion stand up for the people and do what we we think is right. But I think that the undue influence of money and government and the public policies are very legitimate and real problems. We're so much better as a state than what we've become.
State Representative Reuven Carlisle. With us on the line, Austin Jenkins, our Olympia correspondent. We're talking about transparency in government. Austin, Representative Carlisle just said Washington can do much better than what we've become. Is there less transparency in Washington politics than there used to be?
I'm not sure that there's less transparency, but I think there's two things going on. One is we've always been graded on a curve, and so if you look across the country, Washington, with its Public Disclosure Commission, for instance, rates very high in terms of transparency. We also have a very strong Public Records Act that enables reporters and citizens alike to gain access to information from within government agencies. But, you know, times, they are changing. The Public Disclosure Commission's technology and its budget have not kept up with the times. Also, we are in this era of dark money, nonprofits who, you know, dabble or more than dabble in politics, but don't necessarily have to register or disclose their donors. So to some extent, what it is that our disclosure laws, our campaign finance laws, haven't kept up with the times.
Well, the House, as I understand it, has passed legislation to require lobbyists to electronically file their monthly lobbying reports. It's 2015. They're just doing this now.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's a requirement that the candidates for public office electronically file, but it's not a requirement for lobbyists. In fact, it's an option for them. But my understanding is that there's over 1,000 lobbyists who are still not filing electronically. So there is a measure that is still alive that would require electronic filing, but it needs to be funded. It's like $500,000 price tag just to get the PDC's systems up so that they can create basically a searchable database. So it would even be useful to the public to have this information e-filed. If you can't search it, what's the point, right? And that's the status quo today.
So they've required lobbyists to file electronically, but not provided the money for that information actually to become accessible?
The bill to require e-filing is still alive. It comes with that fiscal notice, they say, that price tag. Without the money, actually, the bill would be null and void.
So tell us, how would electronic filing of lobbying reports help reporters like you or the general public follow the money?
Well, let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, I worked with an Associated Press reporter to try to determine how many free meals lawmakers were accepting from lobbyists in the state. The only way to figure that out was to go through paper reports. Now, they might have been e-filed, but they were paper reports, and create a database to try to connect the dots. You can't just look up your local lawmaker and say, how many free meals has he or she taken from lobbyists? You can't do that today. You have to go back and look at paper reports and create your own tabulation. That's the kind of thing that this lobbyist filing requirement and the upgrading of technology at the PDC would ultimately, theoretically at least, allow the public or reporters to do.
You mentioned those meals and gifts that lobbyists give to lawmakers. What happened to the bills that would directly deal with that?
So the State Legislative Ethics Board last year established a new limit on how many lobbyist paid meals lawmakers can accept. So it's 12 a year, but it's the honor system. There's no requirement that lawmakers report those meals. There was a bill from State Senator Jamie Peterson, who sits on the Legislative Ethics Board, to require reporting of these meals. That did not move through the legislative process. And there was part of that also would have required lobbyists to report meals under $25, and that's not currently required. So there was sort of a way of getting at this on both the lobbyist and the lawmaker side, but for now it's going to be the honor system.
So most of these bills have already died, and those that have gone further, their fate is still not known. What are the arguments?
That's right.
What are the arguments being made against measures for more transparency in government?
Well, there's certainly a feeling by individuals like Lieutenant Governor Brad Owen, who has been on the receiving end of ethics complaints, that the system is set up to kind of embarrass, to be used politically, to not be fair to the person who's getting accused of doing something wrong. So Lieutenant Governor Brad Owen wants the ability to raise money for a criminal or a legal defense fund, kind of like the Clinton-era legal defense fund, to be able to defend against ethics complaints. He also wanted to get the AG's office completely out of the state ethics board role and actually require the attorney general to represent the state officer in an ethics complaint. Neither of those proposals have moved forward. But you also get the sense that there's some of the lawmakers are pretty frustrated about the whole meals question, and either feel like the dozen limit is unacceptable, or that this is sort of, you know, this is impinging on their ability to do business in Olympia when they're here during session. And I definitely sense some pushback just about the whole idea that meals have become an issue.
Austin Jenkins, KUOW's Olympia correspondent, telling us about transparency and government measures that have proceeded, but most have not in Olympia. Thanks for joining us, Austin.
You're welcome, Ross.
This is The Record on KUOW.